Welcome to Social Genius, brought to you by Drunk on Social, where we help you stay ahead of social media trends, share the latest news, and highlight the strategies that are working to help you grow your business. Now let's join our hosts, Tristan and Jeff, in 3, 2, 1.
This episode is brought to you by Social Genius. That's where Jeff and I get to actually teach you what to do on social and how to grow it. Jeff, why should people join?
You know, if you are the type of professional that wants to do it yourself, and maybe your budget's a little bit lighter and you can't afford to hire somebody to do all the editing, do the fancy stuff for you, we're going to teach you how to do all this stuff. And the truth is, most of these social platforms are not favoring authenticity. So it's shooting these green screens and doing remixes and understanding what's trending. Those are the things that matter the most to your social strategy. And so if you like to be inside of a tight culture of people that are like-minded and want to do it themselves, then Social Genius is perfect for you.
We'll see you there. You'll never find it for less than this anywhere else. It's very inexpensive. We'll see you on the other side.
YouTube, I would argue, is the lowest hanging, highest requested topic lately by real estate professionals. For me, I don't know about you, Tristan, but for me to come talk about it, everybody's like, hey, can you talk about YouTube? I know you're coming out here to speak about social, but can you specifically make it about YouTube? So I figured, hey, we should make an entire podcast episode 145, all about the latest and the greatest things going on with YouTube. What do you say?
Let's do it, man. But the question I have for you is why? Why do you think that is? Why does everyone all of a sudden want to talk about YouTube?
Well, I think one of the reasons is the statistic that came out recently. I think it was Keeping Current Matters that said it, and I don't have it in front of me. I'll pull it up, but something to the effect of 55% of prospective homebuyers, something like that, are doing searches on YouTube. And so I think between that and the just continual content from YouTube creators, specifically around real estate, who are talking about the success that they're having, is getting the attention of more people because they're all looking for a shiny object. They're looking for some magical pill that is going to fix the issues that they're having in their business currently, which you and I both know is not going to be quick or easy. I think you and I would both agree that YouTube is probably the best platform for bottom of funnel. I think most of social media is very top or top middle of funnel, and I would say YouTube is the best middle to bottom of funnel. The statistic, by the way, is 51% of homebuyers use YouTube as their number one destination for a search. That was from NAR, actually. 51% of home buyers use YouTube. I think people are seeing that and they're saying, oh shit, I should jump into YouTube.
Okay, that makes sense. So finally, NAR decides to talk about social media and they specifically pinpoint YouTube as being the one. Interesting, man.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I would have to agree with you on that and say, YouTube is definitely more bottom of funnel, some middle of funnel, but more bottom of funnel people actively looking. And I think that comes down to micro moments. Back in 2014-15, Google was really talking about micro moments, creating those opportunities for you to be found based on what the consumer has questions on or is urged to do. Like, hey, I want to live in this neighborhood. What does it look like to live here? Or I want to visit this place. I wonder what that neighborhood looks like, right? I have questions. Yep. And the closest thing to us looking as the consumer is YouTube. It's like, tell me more about it. Show me more about it, right? Very interesting.
Well, not to mention, and I've got some stats pulled up here on the screen, but not to mention that you're hearing more and more people. And I had a coaching call this morning, actually, and one of the guys on the call raised his hand and said, you know, I actually don't watch TV anymore. I stream YouTube on my television. And I'm hearing more and more people talking about how they watch YouTube on their TV. And so, you know, I think we are still, Tristan, in infancy in terms of where the nation is in that regard. But I think you're about 2 to 3 years away from that becoming one of the most, you know, where that's going to be the norm. And the homeowner who has cable anymore or DirecTV is going to be the anomaly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a lot of the reason why.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I think it also gives you the ability to find such a much wider topic and niche down on something like YouTube, especially now that people are taking YouTube a lot more serious. So the quality of the content being recorded is so much different than it was 5-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Let's talk some specifics here. Number one, YouTube's chief product officer shared some notes on thumbnail testing and generative AI updates. You're the one that told me about the generative AI updates. And so did Austin. Tell me about that.
Well, I just thought that there was a headline that caught my attention that said that YouTube is going to begin flagging if you don't flag your AI-based or built content, they will be flagging it. In other words, I think you need to make a note somehow. There's probably a box that you check that you know, it's kind of like, is this, you know, kid friendly, you know, those kind of things. And I think I believe reading between the lines that YouTube, I think all social platforms, I think all platforms in general are going to reward human generated content over AI generated content. I think this is going to become the new norm, that these platforms are designed to sniff this out. And it doesn't say this, Tristan, but I think suppress your content if you're cheating.
I called it cheating.
I don't know that you really. I mean, you know, you're using. I think using AI is incredibly important. But if you think you're going to use AI to replace you, I think you're going to be sorely mistaken. I think it's going to cost you. So you got to figure out how to use AI to make yourself more efficient, like with ideas, like with scripting, and like with maybe some imagery. But if you think AI is going to replace you, I think you're going to screw yourself.
On that note, the second part of that article that we were mentioning with AI and content that's AI driven or created is going to be penalized. I agree with you. Yeah. I think the other thing is, you're right, let's focus on creating content with AI that doesn't remove us from the equation. So for instance, the second piece to that was this piece. Let me grab it right now. It's on our YouTube channel. By the way, if you're not part of our YouTube channel, jump in as Drunk on Social. Let me grab this. I think it was. So if you can, let me grab it. There it is. YouTube launches first stage of thumbnail A/B testing. And look what you can do here. The ability for you to upload 3 different thumbnails and then let the audience and the algorithm decide which one is driving more eyeballs to your content. That's important, man. Look at this. For those of you watching right now, I have a section here. It says your test report shows 3 thumbnails that are being tested, and one is the winner. It even says winner because it drove 43.2% watch time over the bottom two. And we've been talking about thumbnails and the importance of thumbnails since we discovered the importance through Jimmy, which was Mr. Beast. He's been telling us that it's been important. It is extremely important. It continues to be the way that people find your content, either appealing or they skip through it. After that, they start reading the title. So I think that's really awesome, man. This is so, so, so cool. Because I hate having to change my thumbnails. I'm like, hey, should I change it? Should I not? This is a no-brainer. I'm glad they finally did it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
No, I love it. Any A/B testing, because A/B testing, I think, is what sets apart top creators, because it's not easy to do. It's time consuming. And the apps building these things in, like Instagram and YouTube as well, with A/B testing of captions, I think is incredibly awesome. I still think it's going to take a level of non-laziness, because I think a lot of lazy people are going to be like, I don't feel like typing two captions, or I don't feel like creating two thumbnails. Well, I mean, they couldn't
make it. That's what AI is there for, right? You mentioned AI. That's why it's there, dude.
Yeah.
Like, go to ChatGPT. I don't know if you've seen this. This is a side note, but have you seen ChatGPT's option for Canva? I'm just going to pop it up. Canva, here we go. I was playing around with it earlier. So here I am, ChatGPT, OpenAI, Canva. There, that's the GPT for Canva. I'm going to just type in, make me three thumbnails for a video about the NAR settlement. Let's go there. Settlement in 2024, specific to a real estate audience. Let's see what it tells me. I don't know that it would know at 2024 because it can't pull off of that, but I'm hoping that Canva will be able to at least grab that and create options. Okay, so it is. Check this out. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
I should have been more specific because it looks like it's making me Instagram thumbnails, right?
Yeah.
But if I could reword it, let's go back to rewording it and saying thumbnails, three YouTube thumbnails. And I'm going to copy that and just restart from the bottom. Go boom, boom, done. And now I'm typing in, make me three YouTube thumbnails for a video about the NAR settlement in 2024, specific to a real estate audience. It has Canva. Canva's plugin is thinking, and we're hoping that it comes up with three nice little options. Let's see what it comes up with. Oh, at least it came up with a YouTube graphic. But let's say we use these three, and now we're able to plug them into the A/B test. It's giving me four, five. Oh, this is easy. I like the fifth one. I kind of like the fourth one, right? But dude, this is how easy it's gotten. This to me is nuts, right? That's pretty sick.
You know what I took away from that? I didn't realize that you could add that Canva to your sidebar like that. I did that while you were doing that. Like, huh, I never even realized that. I never explored ChatGPTs before, or the GPTs before. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you can,
I hope you're watching that.
You can click on the link that it gave you, or even click on the little graphic. It'll take you to Canva and you can modify it all you want.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I just have an assistant now working for me doing this. This is crazy.
Yeah. I don't mean to digress, but I traveled last week. I had a conversation, and I call it that. I call it a conversation with ChatGPT on the plane, to the point that at the end I even said, you're amazing, and it responded, but dude, I need to share what I pulled. I saw some realtor.com headline, and then I pulled all this data to create a post, which I'm going to do. I couldn't believe it. And I just kept asking follow-up questions. Like, one of the responses, like, I don't understand what you mean by that. And I literally said that. And it even said, yeah, you're right. I guess I wasn't very clear. Like, it was literally like having
a conversation. It makes you feel good. You're like, oh, thank you.
Dude, it was incredible. I was like sitting on the plane. I'm sure that person sitting next to me, because I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? This is amazing. It was so cool.
That is so funny, man. I like that. All right, next piece. Here's an article you sent to me, or CK sent to me. YouTube advises channel managers, or sometimes that falls on you, you're the one managing it, not to delete uploaded clips. And it's a really simple thing. For those of you thinking that you really sucked at a video and you're like, oh man, I need to delete it, it's only got like two views. Well, YouTube doesn't like that. In fact, it tells you why specifically right here. And I'm going to read it to you for those of you listening in. It says, YouTube's recommendation system is designed to connect viewers with content they will likely enjoy and engage with. If a channel frequently deletes videos, it disrupts the viewer's experience and makes it harder for the algorithm to assess the channel's value accurately. What do you think of that, man?
I thought it was so interesting. I immediately grabbed the link and sent it over to my team and said, take note.
Yeah.
read this and don't do it, you know? So I think it's important to know. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah. Listen, the only time we've ever deleted videos one time, and I believe it was last week, because we got banned from monetizing for a while because of some videos that we used and somebody reported them. Anyways, we found those videos and we deleted those. That was
Do you know what the videos were? Like, what were they about? Why?
Yeah, they were mostly, you know how Instagram and TikTok, they love when you duet, or they love when you superimpose and you let the video run and then you talk about it after. YouTube doesn't like that as much, and unless it originates in YouTube. And that was the problem for us. Yeah, they specifically identified two of the videos and said, hey, you know what? Those are no good. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they still banned us for a while.
Interesting.
Which kind of sucked, man. It kind of sucked. But last piece to this, YouTube ads improved audience retention data and streamlined pre-checks. Let's focus on the improved audience retention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just show you on one of the videos I did last week. And I'm going to show you exactly what that looks like. So for those of you listening in, I'm on the back end of YouTube on one video that I got last week. It's good data. This one, I turned on the payment option maybe when I had like 12,000 views already. So it was just too late. But 12,600 views, watch time, 1,400 hours, almost 300 subscribers. This is important. Two things. One, look at the very bottom what they added. Key moments for audience retention. It's telling me the most important numbers that I need to watch all the time. Average view duration. My video was 13 minutes and 33 seconds. I had the average person viewed 6 minutes and 40 seconds of it. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And average percentage viewed 49.3%. And this is my favorite part. Jeff, for those of you that are not watching, there's a little graph and I can scroll through the graph until I find where I lose 50% of my audience. But even then, the majority of my audience never fell below 32%. And that's really big. So those are the numbers you need to be focused on. And that's the data that we have. That's super cool, man. And for those people that are also wondering how to work the chart, it'll tell you as a little question mark. You can look, hover over the chart guide, and then it'll tell you. But that's all in the analytics side of your videos. And I think we need to pay attention a little bit more to our analytics. That's why I love that they're adding more things, because it can tell me, hey, Tristan, these videos suck. In fact, you know what Monch told me? Monch is on here. Monch said, after last week's run, we did four videos, and all four performed pretty well. He came to me and he goes, hey, dude, you shouldn't do any other videos but news videos. Can you just stop doing every other video for YouTube? I'm like, okay. I guess you're right. I look at all the other shit we've done, and it doesn't even come close to the news videos on real estate. So there you go.
As I'm looking at this too, I'm not looking at a specific video, but when you go into your back end, I'm just noticing my top performing videos, and then right there next to it, it's got the average percentage watched, average view duration. I mean, it's really neat, all the data that you really need to be diving into, because it's fascinating. My top 20 videos or so are all shorts, and then I got my
those
first long
good.
Form. Yeah.
I think I'm of the opinion that you should be doing both as long as they coincide. In fact, here's what I tell people that tell me otherwise. I said, look, I would agree with you normally if YouTube didn't go ahead and reward shorts that have to do with longer videos, now that they allowed you to attach that longer video in your short, right? So that means you can make Jeff, you make a long video, 7-10 minutes, chop it up. Now you have 5 short videos, and in each one of those 5 short videos, you put a link to the long video, right?
Yeah.
That's what YouTube just turned on maybe a month and a half ago. That's where I say to people, go ahead.
Well, which you mentioned that. So you mentioned taking a long form, chopping it into shorts. What if, and I'm genuinely asking this for my own sake, is, you know, because mine is about a geographical area, and I'm not, we do a little bit of that, is chopping up and make them short. But for posting every single day, it's just all relevant content around the Lake of the Ozarks. So is that still in line with what you would suggest to someone who's living in shorts? Just don't have them completely different topics, basically. Yeah.
Stay within topic. So, dude, for you, all Ozarks. And if you want to chop those up and make them highlights, like you said something amazing, or you showed something amazing that you were out in the middle of the lake and it's part of your longer video. Dude, I think anyone who's interested in that little short will click on the longer form just to watch what happened, which is the best part of this, man. Like, this is how we drive traffic to our long videos.
Yeah, that's underrated. It's definitely underrated.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for listening to Social Genius, brought to you by Drunk on Social. We are here to help you take your business to new levels through social media. Make sure to subscribe to get updates on new episodes and come join us on our Drunk on Social Facebook page. And as always, make sure you leave us a great review on your favorite podcast app. Feedback and likes are very much appreciated.